Welcome to the Organic Content Marketing Podcast with your host, Katie Toby Grinley. I'm here to share what I've learned about content, marketing, building a community from running my multiple businesses. So get ready for tips, trainings, and mindset shifts so you can create not only epic content, but an incredible business. Hey everyone, today I am joined by a really, really exciting guest. I am just like buzzing already, as you can probably tell. I'm going to be joined by Holly Homer. So Holly started a blog, as she says, accidentally 20 years ago that turned into a hobby, then her dream entrepreneurial adventure. Holly runs Kids Activities, The Quirky Mama, and is the co-author of 4 books. She's also the co-founder of Pagewheel. We're going to be talking about blogging and Pinterest, grow your business. And Holly has over 10 million monthly views on Pinterest. Hi, Holly.
That does sound impressive. It's because I've been there a really long time.
It's so impressive, Holly, like everything you do. I watch in awe and I just think, yeah, you are absolutely incredible.
Well, I want to just like put a little asterisk by that I've been doing for a really long time and I just do a little bit every day. So it's really not a big magic trick. I wish I could say, oh, if you just do X, it's 1 foot in front of the other. So
yeah, because that is like when you say it all in one go, it sounds like you are doing so much. So it's actually like really reassuring that you're saying, actually, I only do little bits every now and
just
again.
Just a little bit. And by the way, have no special skills, like have no like magic background or anything like that. Like I was a physical therapist, a stay-at-home mom, you know, that with zero technical skills. I just want to emphasize that. So if I can do any of this is anybody can.
Yeah.
Makes it real easy.
Okay. That's very inspiring. So Holly, you said that you accidentally started one of the biggest mom blogs 20 years ago.
So one of the first mom blogs. So this is what was so crazy is, so I was a stay-at-home mom of, I don't even know, it was like 1 to 2 kids at this point. I have 3 boys. So one of my college friends was kind of in the same situation. I was 2 boys because she had 2 boys. I had 2 boys. They were about the same age and they were both under 3. And so once a week she would email me like this big old long email. And then I would respond back to the email. And we only did this every Saturday morning. I have no idea why we ended up on doing this, but this had been going on for like maybe a year. And it was kind of like one of those things that I couldn't wait till Jody's email came because like, it was like sharing that mom experience and like no one else understood. And like, you didn't even have time to talk to other people. And you know, like it's just one of those things. And so I just, one Saturday morning, I opened up her email and the subject line was, I think we need to stop emailing ... And I was like,
what?
Like, I feel like you don't understand like the level of sanity that is involved in this, like this ritual that had become. And the first line was, we need to start blogs. And then she explained how, I had no idea what a blog was. I had never like been on the internet. Like, I mean, like, you know, this is like 20 years ago. Like I was barely opening up my, in fact, I thought my husband was downloading my email for me. Like I would say, oh, I'm going to go get the email. Can you download it for me? Like, this is where my head is. So, and he would like, oh, I'm sure he was opening up the email thing, you know, because anyway, so she says, then I find out that this is my other favorite thing about this story is she says, I've been emailing someone else too. I wasn't even the only friend she was emailing.
She like, was email cheating on you.
She was cheating on me. So she said, it would be easier for me if all 3 of us would start blogs and then we could just go and read each other's blogs. And so I was like, okay. And so she said, like, how to start a blog is you go to like blogspot.com and you fill out the form and then you'll have a blog. So that, like, within an hour, I was a blogger.
Amazing.
So I went there, I filled out the thing. I just, you know, I have to choose a name. So I chose June Cleaver Nirvana because I just thought, like, hey, I'm a stay at home mom, like, you know, and like it's kind of a traditional, but kind of not. So I thought that was fun. And so, like, and then I got in and realized you could, like, upload, like, this is how stupid I am. You could upload a picture. And so, like, I started uploading, like, some of the pictures because then I was like, oh my God. Like, this is going to save me so much money on scrapbooking because I was making like multiple versions of scrapbooks to share with my mom. And like, cause you know, I have little kids, I'm taking a bunch of pictures and I've photographed like every moment of my firstborn's like, you know, first year. And then I had put them in scrapbooks and I was spending hundreds of dollars making these scrapbooks. So I was like, this is a godsend because I'll just put these pictures online and then I'll tell my mom about my blog and my great aunt, you know, and my grandma, and they'll come and be able to see the pictures. And so that's when I was like, okay, so my friend Jody and my mom and my grandma. And then about 3 weeks into me like doing this stuff, I got a comment from someone that wasn't my mom or Jody or my grandma.
Oh my goodness.
So like I saw that there was like a link on her name, so I clicked through. She had a blog too. I didn't even know anyone else blogged.
You were the only blogger in the world at this point.
The only blogger in the world. And no wonder I thought I started the first mom blog because like I literally thought I was the only blogger in the world. So then that just like opened up like everything because she had a blog role in her sidebar. And then I realized all sorts of people blog. And I started going through like her blog role and it's really funny, but you know, some of those early bloggers are like some of my dearest friends today, you know, from that blog role. In fact, that girl, I still know who it was that, and she, I don't think she blogs today, but she blogged for a good 15 years. Yeah. But that like, you know, so it's so funny that like that first comment, like basically changed my life. And then, you know, I realized, oh, this could be more than like just a, like, you know, those horrifying first posts were like a picture and like not even like a sticks, you know, it was just like, you know, it wasn't a blog. It was just like throwing stuff out there. But, you know, and so over the years, I just wrote every day. And so I just got good at it just because I did it for a while.
Yeah. Amazing. So how often would you say you blog now? Compared to like, obviously, because you still don't, I would imagine you don't blog every single day still.
So I kind of do because so the early I blogged every day until I like, you know, kind of because I was more of a storytelling, like I was more like stories. I was like more personal things, like talking about like the kids and what we were doing and that kind of thing. So it was more of a traditional, like, hey, here's what our life looks like snapshots. And then as I realized those stories, like the kids went to school and I was like in car line and one of the teachers came out and like relayed something funny that I had told on my blog. And I realized like these stories are no longer mine. Like these kids are at an age where it affects like other people, you know what I mean? And so I was like, had a crisis because like what am I gonna do, like I don't have any stories, like their stories are my only stories right now because I'm like the stay-at-home mom of three boys. So that's when I bought Rachel's blog. Is it, you know, kind of I was trying to look for a project that would be less personal but I still wanted to be online, and she was doing this really cool thing that no one else was doing, that she was like putting things on, like putting tutorials on, like, and not really tutorials, we didn't think about it that way, but kind of instructions or ideas of how to do kind of like fun kids crafts and like simple educational things and homes, like simple homeschooling things and that kind of stuff. And so it was kind of like, and this was before like really recipe blogs or craft blogs were around. And so she was kind of the early Like, and I was like, oh, that's really fun. Like, we do all those things and I could write about them, but not be so personal about like, oh, my kid won't poop on the potty, you know? Like, so that's why that's how that happened. And I took that over. And then, so Kids Activities Blog Today is what she had originally named it, Quirky Mama. And I rebranded it for search engine optimization reasons to Kids Activities Blog. And then that today is really my main business. And we publish on Kids Activities Blog 8 to 10 times a day.
Wow.
So we basically are a feed on Kids Activities Blog of just fun things to do with your kids, resources for parents, and just like simple, easy, like free, you know, don't overcomplicate it. It doesn't really matter what it looks like. We want you just to, you know, enjoy childhood is really the bottom line.
Yeah. And how do you keep up with producing that amount of content every single day?
Yeah. So now I have people that help me write it. You know, for years, you know, it was me. And then when I did make a little bit of money, I started hiring people. Rachel was one of those people that wrote for me for a while. And then it was really fun for a while to about 10 years ago, I could pay a stay-at-home mom like $25 to just write about what they did today. You know, and so like a lot of those early posts are very free form with 4 photos because they're just taking snapshots and you know, images are this big and, you know, stuff like that. But the funny thing is through the years, a lot of times we'll go back to that post and realize, oh my gosh, this is a genius idea. It probably started, you know, inspired 3 other bloggers to write about it. Let's like put it in, you know, like let's re-photograph it. Let's put it into a tutorial. Let's put a little printable card on it and stuff like that. So like, even though those ideas through the years, they changed in the way they look, a lot of times they haven't changed at all in the way oh, that's a really good idea. We should make that look better. So Pinterest will like it better.
Yeah. So it's a lot of repurposing the content that you had and improving it. Yeah. And
then seeing kind of where, like, you know, since we are kind of all things kids activities, where are the gaps? Like, you know, like one of the things that I laughed about a few years ago is Rachel and I wrote a science book, and science is my background. So that was a really good thing for us. And then I realized our own blog didn't even have a lot of science content. And so here we are like coming out with a science book, but we had no like science content. So like, you know, for that next year, we like put out a lot of science, you know, simple science experiments and that kind of stuff, activities you could do without like a lot of science knowledge. And so like, that's been kind of the fun is like stepping back once we have all this content, and a lot of it was just like generated through moms that didn't have a strategy. And so like trying to use that within a strategy and then seeing, okay, where are our gaps?
Who did you like managed to distribute it, so like all these hundreds of thousands, millions of people saw your blog posts?
Yeah, so like, you know, I think, well, in the early days when before social media, it was like a much harder situation because you really were relying on, you know, being in someone's blog role or something like that. And so when Twitter first came out, like it was such like so groundbreaking. And I remember opening up Google Analytics and seeing my top refer as Twitter. And can you even imagine that today? Like, you know, it's because like, it's a much different, you know, it's a much different platform now. But like, so Twitter really taught us that like we could say, hey, we just wrote about this. And there'd be people on Twitter that would be like, oh, like that sounds interesting. I'll click through. And then like early days of like StumbleUpon, I don't know if you were familiar with that, but like I will explain what it is because I really think if you ever were on StumbleUpon, you understand every algorithm since then. So the way StumbleUpon works was it was kind of like a browser bar where it would say, like, do you want, you know, you could just push StumbleUpon and it would like throw you like kind of a random post. And you could like, when you signed up for StumbleUpon, you could say, hey, I'm interested in, you know, cars. And, you know, I mean, you could like put some niches, but it was really pretty random.
Yeah.
And then, so like, it would be like just throwing a random post at your way. And then it was really crazy, but like on the back end, like, so if you could stumble your own post, meaning you like tag it to put into this rotation. And so if you went and look at Google Analytics, you could stumble your post. And what you would see is that they would stumble, would send 50 people to that post. So you, okay. you could literally watch this in real time. Because remember, this is before any other social media. So you, and you'd see 50 people come. And basically, if the majority of those people like thumbed it up, it would keep going. Yeah. And if most of them were like, yeah, not that interested, it would just die on the vine. It would just die right there.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a very good, like, was a very good lesson of like, don't stumble something that you don't think those 50 random strangers
yeah.
will like. Because though that like test, that little test group it, like, is going to make, you know, make it big. Because like if they liked it, you might get traffic from that for weeks, and it might be thousands and thousands of people, which is unheard of back then. And so that was, but basically that's kind of how all the algorithms still work. It's just, it's embedded a lot deeper. You can't see those 50 people come and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the early stages of that. And then, you know, Google started sending people. So we started realizing, you know, like, and back then search was really kind of, very keyword heavy. You could play the game and win it very easily. And so, and then as these social networks came out, like Facebook, you started realizing, okay, now you can reach a bigger audience there. Pinterest, you can reach a bigger audience there. YouTube to a little bit different way, more, we look at YouTube, and I still do to this day, is more of a SEO play. Mm-hmm. Is like, you know, let's talk about it here and talk about it here. They're both Google properties, have them embedded together or linked together, and it makes more sense to Google and that kind of stuff. So and then, you know, like Instagram to a lesser things, like any of the social networks that don't have links or the ability to put links in an easy way, like I kind of avoided, but, or didn't put a lot of effort into, because at the core, I am a content creator and a content marketer. So if I'm creating content, I want it to be at the core. And that all these accessories are bringing the traffic to my foundation.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So that explains like a lot why I guess like you and Rachel didn't concentrate a lot on Instagram, because it right. wasn't easy to put the link. It wasn't clickable.
It wasn't worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so are we really like, because there's so many places you can be and so many things you could do. I mean, like just, you know, any one of these places, you could be working 24 hours a day. Like you have to really prioritize. And so we were really looking at, and that's why I think, you know, we kind of parted ways in a way, like of our emphasis, in that, like we really honed in on what we loved to do and mm-hmm. what we like, kind of the game we wanted to play. And so the, it really like the ROI, like, and in fact, I have a spreadsheet where like, I literally went through and said, okay, here is my top traffic sources. Here is the amount of time, like it takes me to create a Facebook post. Here's the amount of time it takes me to create a Pinterest post. Here's the amount of time it takes me to do an Instagram post. Here's to put a Twitter post, you know, all these things. And then like, here is the average return. Oh, Facebook might send me 1,000 people. Pinterest might send me, and that's harder to tell because it's over time, but yeah. Pinterest might send me 100,000, but like, you know, I have to maybe put 100 things in the lottery to get that. Mm-hmm. So, it's, but like, you know, our average pin may be 35, and you know what I mean? And like, but Instagram, it's going to take me the same amount of time and I might get 3 click-throughs on my link in bio. Well, like that's not, it just doesn't make sense. Like, let's go and do that. So, and then the other thing that that I use for a huge source of traffic today is my email list. Because these people have raised their hand that they like what I'm doing, and so I send them you know, stuff to come click on every single day. So like now you think of all the different ways you can get traffic, and then just maximizing them. And it's a lot easier when you look at it that way. And so you're not like, I have to be everywhere. No, you actually don't. You have to be where your time is best spent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think it's really important that you enjoy the platform that you're on as well, because obviously you have to spend time on there. You're, you know, cultivating this community of people.
Right.
And I think that really comes across like in whatever you post. Mm-hmm. You know,
I agree with that.
You really want to be there. So yeah, like, you know, you probably, you know, for your blog and what you were trying to achieve, you were like, well, you know, I don't really want to be on Instagram because it's not worth my while.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, you've gone, do you know what? But, you know, I like Facebook. So, you know, I'm just going to go and have the best fun possible over on Facebook or, you know, on Pinterest.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, I built an Instagram channel, but it just, because like what I do is so hands-on, like, hey, here's a coloring page, here's a worksheet, here's a thing. Like, it's hard to translate that into kind of just glossy pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I built it, but it's never been the most engaged place. Whereas like, hey, if you're looking for like, you know, Pinterest is such a great search engine for, you know, moms looking for fun things to do with their kids really quickly. And so it makes a lot more sense. Oh, I'll click through and get those instructions. And Facebook has been big for us for a long time. But like, it's because that's where the moms were, you know?
Yeah.
And then Quirky Mama, one of the reasons that I never rebranded it to Kids Activities Blog was that I really felt like it was good to have kind of a bigger base. So we didn't have to just talk about kids' crafts and kids' activities. If we wanted to share recipes, if we wanted to share kind of something funny or like, you know, mom life type things, that was still within brand.
Yeah, completely. A quick question about Pinterest. So you've got your blog. How many pins would you create for one particular blog?
So like so Pinterest is just like any other thing. Is you want to give it more of what it likes. So like if I know, and if you've been on Pinterest for a while, you know what it likes and what's going to do well and what's not going to do well. And every once in a while it'll surprise you. So like basically everything gets pinned once, you know. Just so it, you know, you kind of throwing it into that Pinterest lottery, and sometimes it'll surprise you, but for the most part, you know what's going to work over there. And then when it does well, that's when you become a pin making machine. Because so for instance, like, you know, in the early days of Pinterest, like we might have like one of my top pins even today is like ways to make your boxed cake mix taste better. So like, you know, you think of all these kind of hacks of you making a boxed cake mix taste like a homemade cake. And so the first time we do that, we know that post is going to do well on Facebook. In fact, on Pinterest. It'll do well on Facebook too, but it's a good Pinterest post. I think Rachel might even have written that 100 years ago because she was really good at thinking of things that would do well on these platforms. And so the first time we write that, we know it's going to do well. So we're probably going to create 3 images within the post at least that are pinnable. And so those are going to go on Pinterest, you know, over time, over on different boards that make sense. So we're going to pin that, repin them if they're doing well, change, see which of those images is doing the best and sending those traffic. And then like what I would do is, okay, there's a clear winner, you know, image 2 is doing a lot better. let's look at what about image two is doing really well. And then we're going to go and we're basically going to remake image two in multiple sizes, in like as inspired as image two. It may not be exactly image two, but like maybe the text is the same, or maybe we're going to use the photo the same, but change the text up. And we're just going to kind of rinse and repeat and see if we can kind of rework that. So you're taking what you used in the laboratory that worked the best, and then going in and doing that secondary experiment, you know, knowing the knowledge that you know from the previous experiment.
That makes total sense. And yeah, I love that you're like always testing things as well. Test and tweak.
You never, like, I think the biggest crime online is unintentional posting. And we all do it, I know. But if you have a reason for posting every single thing you post, number one, all of a sudden your strategy becomes so much clearer. Because like today I posted something on Pinterest that I didn't think would do well, but it's because I haven't tried this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what's going to happen when I come back a week or two or three from now and go back and look at like, and see that pin didn't do anything. You know, at that point, that's actually super valuable information to me, because I'm like, I knew it wasn't going to do well. I posted it to try it, and Pinterest just confirmed my thought that it didn't do well.
Yeah.
Whereas if I had just had an VA, just like, I would not have learned anything, and that bad pin would have gone out on Pinterest. And the crime is we wouldn't have learned anything about it.
Yeah, I think it's so important to audit your content, no matter how uncomfortable it makes you, because actually if you go back and audit it, you learn so many things, like you were just saying, Holly.
Yeah.
Like, and it doesn't mean that, you know, it's absolute no. It could be, okay, what if we change the photo? What if we change it to this? What if we change the copy or the headline? And, you know, try to make it work. And I think it's being able to test and tweak things in order that will allow you to grow on social media or, you know, Pinterest, whatever it is.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that you can really glean from that is like, okay, so I see what my top pins are today, you know, so go in and look at that and then go, what other content do I already have that is similar or on the same subject? And like, and then go make pins inspired by the ones that are already doing well for those things. Because like, it's all our fault. Like, we didn't present it in the way that the Pinterest user like understood it or liked it or thought it was interesting. So like, it's not their fault. we didn't connect the dots for them. Yeah. But Pinterest gives us all this information every single day.
Absolutely.
So like, to go back and say like, okay, now that I thank you, Pinterest, for that information, now let me use that information to really like there's things on my blog that I know you will like. I just like, it's my fault that I didn't present it in a way that made sense to you. So, so going back and kind of doing the audit on the back end is, where are those things that should have done better? Like in your gut, you're like, no, that's a Pinterest post. And then you open it up and you're like, Pinterest sent me 5 people last year. Like, no, that's not okay. Let's go back and like, look, you know, start from scratch. Let's remake a pin in the way that has the best advantage. Go out and see how that goes.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. Do you have any tips or hacks of like being able to create the content easier?
Absolutely. Well, and if you, I did want to mention a page wheel, because I think one of the things that that will help people in kind of making things faster and easier and is really page wheel that that Rachel and I have co-founded and is live and going, which I'm really excited about. is a way to create something digitally that that, you know, with the assistive AI. So like it could be a checklist, it could be a workbook, an ebook, anything like that. That then based on what you create, it automatically writes you a sales page or an opt-in page. It automatically creates a thank you or delivery page that you can even add videos and stuff into. It automatically creates a delivery email that you can edit. It automatically creates all the promotions that you could do across even an editorial calendar and that kind of stuff, all from that initial thing. And so one of the things that I was running into when I was like trying to give away things or sell things for $2 is that all of the tech that was required to charge someone $2 for something. So like I had to like create it and then create a funnel and then create a way that that funnel connected to like some sort of delivery process and then how that funnel had to connect into my email. And I'm terrible at funnels. And so like, and then, oh, the funnel software costs $200 a month. And then like, I have to sell 200 of these $2 things to even cover that. Like, that's like mind blowing when you think about, like, if you're trying to give away or if you have low ticket products and eBooks and stuff that you're selling, how much you have invested in that before you even get to that product. And so that, like, I literally said to Rachel several years ago when we were trying to put some of these things together, because we were trying to like do a whole series of low ticket products for the blog. And I was like, there has to be an easier way, because if we're taking like 8 hours for the initial funnel and then cloning those funnels and having to do it, and then like it was getting disconnected and I didn't know how to put it back together and all that. I was like, this is so stupid. Like, there has to be an easier way. And so Rachel's like, I think we can build something. When Rachel says, I think we can build something,
yeah,
you either like run behind her and like hold on for dear life, or you just run screaming in the opposite direction.
My answer would have been you hold on for dear life.
I was gonna say, which is what I've been doing. Thank goodness, because it really is crazy. Like now that all these parts are together and you can literally put all this together in less than 15 minutes and be online, like that, it's your like, we were right. That's stupid. How like the before of that process is just stupid. So like, if you're like thinking about, oh, I want to grow my email list, or if you're like, hey, I just need to like pop up this little tutorial video that I want, you know, want to sell for $15, or, you know, all these different use cases, if you, you know, running small business or a side gig, all these things, like you're trying to find a way to use these social media algorithms to attract people to you that then you can find again.
Like, yeah.
So get them on your email list, get them in a way that, you know, a room that you can say, hey, I'm here now. So that they can actually meet up with you instead of trying to chase you, as like, you know, through the chaos that is the scroll these days. Like all throughout, you know, my blogging career was literally trying to figure out how to simplify, because I'm not tech. I'm not this. I'm not, you know, like I'm, you know, like how can I do this in a simple way? Like how can we use what's available to us and not overthink this? I don't have time to do a million of this. How can we simplify? So it really is true, is when you put simple tools into the hands of business owners, like they just go crazy, because yeah, like, because it, we were all, it was too hard. We were all overthinking it.
Absolutely. Like to create like a new, you know, lead magnet would take you days.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, and I had so many lead magnets that like I had paid someone to create. So I had it, and you know, we're not talking big bucks, but, and then I never launched because, well, I didn't know how to make the little thing. I didn't know how to like, and then if like I put it like, or I embedded it and it broke,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't know how to go find it. Like it just, oh, it was just, yeah. So this is just so much simpler because like, we do all the connection, not me personally, the people that coded this in a beautiful way, do all the connections behind the scenes. Or like, if you do, like for me, I do now already have an opt-in system set up on Kids Activities Blog. So a lot of times I'm making things in PageWheel and then downloading them and just plugging them into my already done system. But if I was going to sell something, I don't have a system for that. So I'll just use PageWheel. So it's really fun. Like, you can really use it with stuff. If you already have a system, you can plug it in easily. So you're not having to pay people to do a lot of stuff. Or if you don't have a system, this is a way to start growing that email list, launching those products that are in your head and seeing how they do. Like, the worst thing in the world, which I've totally done, is spend a month launching something. Like, I'm several thousand dollars in at this point with, tech and hiring out. And then I sell 4. And then you're just like, oh, that was so not fun.
Yeah. And I think that's why as well, like, a lot of people give up, on their business, isn't it? Because it just feels too hard.
It's too hard. And it was too hard. But what if it took you 20 minutes to launch that and you sell 4?
Amazing.
Like, then
hello?
You're like, yeah, like, that was a lot cheaper lesson.
Yes. Cheaper, more time effective. Everyone's a winner.
Yeah. So I was trying to make the laboratory just a little bit cheaper and faster.
Yeah. I love that. Well, I will make sure I put the link to PageWheel in the show notes.
It.
So
yeah,
people can, yeah, definitely go and check that out, because, yeah, it's a really fun tool for sure.
It really is. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Oh, no, thank you, Holly. Honestly, it's just been so amazing to talk with you today, and also for you to share all of your amazing knowledge with us today on the podcast.
You can do it. That's the bottom line.
I love it. I love it. So inspiring. Thank you, Holly.